I will pray for us. I will pray for us once everybody gets settled. Actually, I'll pray for us while y'all are getting your stuff. Father God, thank you so much for your grace and your blessings and for birthday cake and sweet things instead of just being boring in meetings. Lord, I pray that you will bless our time tonight, that it will go quickly and smoothly, and we will accomplish all that you have in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You tell me when.
Well,
okay.
I got an extra bed.
Well, please come to the paper party for PBS. I'm going to need it.
I've been paying attention. She told me too.
I didn't tell you. I was pretty slick about asking.
Too bad. Too. Can I take out my how important birthday card?
Well, you kind of already told me when birthdays were important, so it made it kind of easy to ask what kind of cake you like without giving it away.
Last year, we went to South Austin. It was Jacob, Christina's son, graduated, had his graduation party. Well, I didn't know that they had planned a birthday, surprise birthday thing to go along with it. Mm-hmm. So Jacob comes walking out of the house with this big cake, beautiful cake. It was like a whipped thing. It had it was like a strawberry shortcake. It had strawberries and cream in the middle and all that. And he says, come on. He says, blow the candles out, Granny. So I'm like, okay, I'm pretending. And when I did that, he went, popped me in the face with it.
Oh no!
I had whipped cream all in my glasses and everywhere, and I'm like, my daughter didn't know he was gonna do that. She's, but it only messed up a corner of it, and then he took off running. See, I'm like, I didn't get mad. I'm like, okay, let me get cleaned up. And so it was a delicious cake, but I'm like,
especially when it was on your face.
It tasted much better in your mouth.
Yeah, it
did. Tom, I thought you stayed around for me, but I know you ever got cake. That's why you stayed. Mm-hmm. And I can't blame you. Being her birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the cake.
I told him. I don't know if he heard me say cake, but I think he's supposed to be avoiding gluten right now, so this probably wasn't good for him. And that's okay. All right. So Tammy's not here tonight, which I guess means we're doing approval of the minutes would be the next thing.
Yes.
They already had the minutes from
Yeah, we just passed them out.
Cool.
Everybody needs to review them and see if they're okay with them.
I was thinking, I'm like, when am I going to scooch over and do that?
That was very good, Tara. You did a good, wonderful job.
It's a box. I was in a hurry.
Well, you did wonderful.
But thank you.
There's no peace.
I came out
there.
There
are some people that
it's a big box.
You did very well.
Yay.
And I saw you in the room too, but I didn't see you did it. You were one way now for them.
See, God was protecting secrets and good things. For surprises.
Okay.
Oh,
thank you.
Please help.
Has everybody read the minutes? Is everybody okay with the minutes the way they're written? So do I hear a motion that we approve them?
Yeah.
All right, Jerry's made a motion. Do I hear a second? Run the second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Right, 10 minutes are approved as written. Let me kill mine.
Y'all got to speak up.
All right, the minutes are approved. So let's see, what's our next order of business? Tammy's not here, so there will not be a treasury report. Under old business, we've got the Epworth audits 2024 and 2025, and so she's not here, so I don't know.
So we can just present that it has been completed for both 2025 and 2026. The report's been filed. They were sent by email to all of the leadership. Paul followed up to make sure that the nonprofit report has been filed. That's a yearly thing that we just file with the state.
Yes.
It's like a $25 fee.
And so I'll be honest with you. The first person who responded about the audit was Ian. Mm-hmm. I heard his first comment, and I missed his second, and then I was out of town, and I got home, and I didn't review the report so I could get on my computer at home and open them. And hit that question about, you'd already said something about it, but I missed it. I didn't realize you'd said something. I read it, and I both had a panic attack. And especially when I read the part about Secretary of State and the corporate status and all that. And so I went and checked and followed up. And that area of the report was yellowed out under where yes would be answered. And so one of the things I want to make sure we adopt is that we want the annual report filed. I mean, we want the I'll get it in a minute.
The audit?
No, the
Secretary of State.
Yes, the yearly report, and the NCELL has been doing that for us, and this is what I've got here is the paperwork. I sent them an email, and they followed up, and we can put this in the paperwork for tonight. And I've put the reports in the books. I've got a book I have in my satchel. We've got one to keep in the office. And
you'll put that in the house.
Yeah, put that with him. And so the big thing was I panicked, and then after I got to thinking, and I realized we'd already been doing that.
Yeah.
But I want it with the annual report so that we answer the question yes, and we follow the report with that report showing that we've done it so that we don't let it lapse by accident, because that's the one thing the NCELL let me know. If we let it lapse, we got to pay penalties and fees and so reapply. And
realistically speaking, I think that might be, I don't know that you necessarily need that to go along with the audit report. The audit needs to reflect that we have a policy that it's being done and there's procedure for it being done. Not necessarily that it's been done for that year, but that it's been done in the past 12 months.
Well, the thing is, if they answer yes, and then they can put in the box by that report filed and just have the copy of that report.
Well, but what I'm asking is, when do we usually file that during the year? Because we have a date, I think, of the end of March normally for when we wanted to have the audits done every year. When do we usually file our?
Usually they have to have it in by July. So in June, we'll be making sure.
Yeah, so I think that probably we don't want to hold up the audit in order, but we do want to check if it's been done. And we need that someplace in some kind of policy. We probably need to develop a church policy that says these are yearly, these things need to be done at this time. That's like a single sheet, date, important dates, things that the leadership team knows needs to be done so that if we have leadership turnover, things don't get.
Yes, and I've got the up-to-date reports in the book in there and in the book in my satchel that goes along with the bylaws and everything else. And also made two more updates on the report for this year. Beside Dinah's name, it didn't have a position, and it'll say financial secretary after they complete it for this year. And by James Ellis's name, it didn't have any title, and I had him put trustee. And so when the next one comes out, those things will be on with the titles for those people. And the only other thing I know we need to do for our bylaws, why I mentioned that, is we need to update it copy of our leadership list to put in both of these books, and should have one on the bulletin board in the hallway as well.
So in the hallway, there is a updated list of the leader team.
Does that have Debbie's name on it for the admissions yet?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that I had written that up knowing we were going to talk about it that night, so I'm pretty sure it should be up to date.
Okay. So I can take that down and copy it, make a couple copies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
The other thing we wanted to talk about, and we'll have to get with Tammy about this, but...
Well, I think that this is something the leadership team needs to probably talk about and make a decision on.
Yes, and that's why I'm going to bring it up too tonight. She's not here, but she keeps a thumb drive. And on the thumb drive is the Epworth Financial, the backup current drive stored in the safe. Well, I put on here stored in the safe. It's not stored in the safe. She's got it in her satchel.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we need to adopt a policy that there's a current, up-to-date thumb drive in the safe. God forbid something happens to her, and she's told us, go ask Tony, he'll get it out of my satchel, but we need a thumb drive that's up-to-date in that safe in case something happens, so we've got it, and we're not struggling. And
I agree.
It's a simple procedure. I know she's got one thumb drive, purchase a second thumb drive, and then each time she updates it, she'll put the current one in the safe, and she can keep the secondary in her satchel, and we're covered.
Yep.
But that's something we need to adopt as a leadership team, and I think it's important that we do that, because we bought that safe, we invested in that safe, and it's to be able to store things here that should be here to protect us. I mean, mm-hmm. People have had all these documents in their houses in the past, and that doesn't work anymore. I mean, we're too far advanced, and we don't have to do that. I mean, so, and that would be one thing we really need in that safe.
Agreed. So I would say that we probably need to specify the frequency of update that needs to be done, and how we want that to be done by the treasurer. So as this is the group that makes that decision, because I don't want to make more work for Tammy or for whoever the next treasurer is. And at the same time, we do have to, not only do we have to have an updated one where you're only going to lose a week's worth of information if something were to happen. And I mean, that could be nothing bad happens to her, but she gets in a car wreck and it gets smashed and her computer gets smashed and then all of your data is gone.
Yeah.
So having your backup in the same general vicinity of your main is not a good idea. It's a good idea to have those things one separate someplace safe. The two USB drives would take care of that. If she rotates those once a week, she's usually over here, I'm assuming, at least once a week. Does she live really super far from the church or anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would just say that we have a policy in place that the church's financial records are updated on a thumb drive once a week, and that she can just bring...
Do we want to do once a week, or since she does a treasure report once a month?
Would have it done, because I am assuming, and I may be incorrect, but I am assuming that she updates her information as she does bill payments and stuff like that. So if we find that it doesn't change from week to week, then obviously there wouldn't need to be an update because there's been no update. But I would say that it's updated weekly unless there's been no change in the database.
Okay.
Would be how that would be.
What we need to hear is a motion that we can do this and what frequency. And
well, I'm going to add a comment because I think that is wise, because I mean, every week there is money, offertory money and checks that need to be deposited and stuff like that. Because I mean, it varies. It does vary. But I think it's smart to have that set in place so that we know that we have the latest updated information
And we've got the technology. These thumb drives are a dime a dozen, and it doesn't take but a couple minutes for it to download it, you know. And you got updated copies, so it's not like we're really adding a lot to her job. She's been doing a thumb drive anyway, so I mean, it's just a matter of
having... It's just a matter of it's getting swapped and one is getting left here.
Right.
Instead of her having just the one there. And realistically, that should not actually add anything to her, like how the workload is, other than she would need to come over here at least once a week. Whether that's on Sunday when she comes on Sunday, or whether if she's out of town on Sunday, it's she comes when she gets back in town. That hopefully wouldn't be a huge problem. So I would move that we set a policy that the accounts for the church, the electronic accounts for the church, be maintained on two thumb drives that alternate so that they are getting updated once a week. Yes.
I'd like to make a minor change to your wording there.
Yes, sir.
Your financial operation right now is right above the Stone Age, all right? Instead of saying thumb drive, say
electronic storage device.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be hard drive. That would be, I mean, that was an obvious question that I asked. Yeah. I've been involved, I got a degree in accounting. I've been involved in this stuff. And that was such a big, wide hole.
Okay.
That was, I just think that the word.
Okay.
Electronic storage device.
The wording is.
Yeah, that's all.
That the accounts for the church, the electronic accounts for the church will be maintained on two separate electronic storage devices. One that will be maintained here and one that she keeps, and those can be swapped back and forth as they're. So she's got a working copy with her, and we have the most recent copy here.
Okay, so the motion's been made.
I second.
Two electronic.
And that has all the backups on it, right? It has all the other
everything.
Yes.
Everything.
And so this will be done weekly, and they'll be using two storage devices, so there'll be a
working copy and there's a backup copy.
A backup copy, and the updated copy will be kept in the safe, and this will be done weekly. Do I hear a second? Right. Anne seconded. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Who was first?
Tara. Anybody opposed? All right, so the motion carries. And so we'll have to get with Tammy and let her know what we want to do on this. And
what she needs from us to make sure that that happens and it works for her. And if there's any modification that needs to be made for that for some reason, like if we find out she only does bills once every 2 weeks or something, and there's no changes, we can adjust that to reflect that.
All right, I think that's all the old business for tonight. The next things we have is new business. And I talked to Tara about this, and I think we're overdue on this as well. The next item is about planning system online giving, and you can use that for membership records, etc. And my understanding is, I think you said the $15 fee per month?
So Planning Center is a major, that's one of the biggest online church management and giving platforms. It's an integrated platform for maintaining your membership files while allowing your people to be able to update their own stuff. So like if your people move and they need to update their information, they can do that. And they can give online, which goes directly into your giving database. But you can also track all of your manual giving as well. So whatever comes in on Sunday mornings, you can keep track of it there. So we can integrate all of that in one place. The people part of that, so the database part of that, also lets you be able to email your people and stuff like that out of that system. And it doesn't cost anything. So maintaining the people end of things costs nothing. I already use Planning Center for our calendaring on the website. So all of the, if you go on our events page, all of that's pulling out of Planning Center. That doesn't cost us anything to do that. The giving does cost. I want to say up to 75 donations, individual donations per month. The baseline for that is $15. And then there's transaction fees only for online transactions. So it wouldn't, like anything that we enter in manually, that does nothing except for we're keeping track of it. The online donation part is, I want to say it's 30 cents per transaction for electronic checks, and that's a flat fee with no additional. And then for credit and debit cards, it's 30 cents per transaction plus like 2.5 or something, which is one of the percent, which is the lowest online transaction fees for, like, I want to say it processes through Square. And anything you process credit or debit cards online is going to cost you a fee. It's going to cost you a percentage plus a transaction fee. Those are just a given. The nice thing about Planning Center with that is it also comes with the option for whoever's making those donations. It will tell them, this is what the fee is for using whatever payment form you're using. Do you want to cover that? So people have the option of covering those fees for you, and that's just sort of a part of the way that the processing is done. They don't have to, and they might not, but it's nice. A lot of people do when they're getting to churches online. What the purpose of that is, number one, that's part of the financial policy that we approved at the beginning of the year, was that we were going to get an online option established for people to be able to give. We are, one of the things we're going to look at tonight is the planning team's work on calendars and stuff. We are really, really hoping to start really reaching families and bringing in new people with VBS, with digital disconnect days and things like that. As that happens, most of the people my age and younger don't have checkbooks anymore. I have checkbooks. I can't find them half the time because I don't use them most of the time. I have them in case there's something that comes up where I really need to write a check or something, but almost everything I do is with a debit or a credit card or with electronic checks or online banking or other ways like that. Most of your younger generation, if you've not given them a way to donate to you online, they won't do it. They just won't. They won't tithe. And it's not because they don't want to tithe and they don't see the value. It's that they don't have cash. They don't have checks, and they don't think about it. And so if the only opportunity they have to give to you is on a Sunday morning, they'll forget, and they won't do it.
I do want to say our system is of the Stone Age. We see what we bring in through that. But
yeah, but look at your average age here, too, also.
Right. But
we're all in the Stone Age.
We don't know what we're losing by not having the system in place. It's my thing. And until we get it in place, we won't have any idea what this might do for us.
And so that's the other thing with Planning Center. For right now, as we're getting that rolling, you can actually start the giving end of things and utilizing it for that. And if you're under 10 donations, like if we want to keep maintaining our database and church growth right now for the giving that we have here, and we keep that there, and we keep our online giving separate until it gets big enough that we can pay attention, that we know what's going on with it. Under 10 transactions through there is not going to cost you anything except for, so that $15 I was talking about, that isn't relevant if you don't go over 10 people. It is just the percentages and that transaction fee. So it's the 2.5% and the 30 cent transaction fee per transaction that would cost us. But that, you have to think of that in terms of those donations that are coming in online like that are donations that you probably wouldn't have at all. So it's not actually a cost to you for that so much as it is an opportunity for people to get. So the other end of that is right now I have the website set up and we're moving at a point where I can start actually
tracking,
hopefully not tracking so much. Next month, I actually have more time, so I can sit down and build out the rest of that where we have more information in the church. As we have these things where we've got an actual calendar put together of events that are coming up, that gets people coming to the website to look for who we are and what we're doing. But Ed has been working super hard on improving the quality of our videos And so every week, we're sending out video, and people are watching online, and that will increase over time. Well, if you don't have a way of giving online for people who are watching online and are not able to come to church or are not coming to church for some reason, they can't support your ministry either, unless they write you a check and send it in the mail, which again, that is a, depending on your age group, that's just not something people do.
Yeah.
So having an online ability for people to give is really critical for churches. Planning Center is probably the easiest and least expensive of the options to work with, and it's expandable and shrinkable depending on what we actually are using and what we need. That whole system is modular. You can use what you need from it at the level you need it, and half of it's free, like almost all of it, I should say everything we currently use is free.
Well, since we've got these sermons online on YouTube now, they need an option of a way to donate.
And it would be good.
And they don't have it. And so we've got to get this in place, because I don't know if we're tracking how many people are watching or not.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, we can find out how many people are watching.
And that would be good to know, too, on the current report that, you know, we've had so many people.
We'll take a peek at that for next month.
Just an idea. But, I mean, I think we've got to get this in place, because we don't know what we're losing by not having it. And not only that, but like Tara said, this platform, the membership roles and everything can be incorporated into that and used to track our membership and everything else. And so, but the amount of money we're losing, we don't know, because we don't have the system in place. And so we've got to get it in place to start somewhere to see what it does for us. And I think as we grow, it's going to become a bigger thing.
So my question, I guess, for this group is, what do you need in order to be able to effectively vote on whether or not we want to move forward with doing that and at least piloting the giving aspect of the Planning Center stuff? And how do you want that handled to start with? Do you want me to launch that in the free level and see if anything happens with it first? Do you want to, what do you need to know in order to be able to authorize it if suddenly we have over 10 next, you know, in the next couple of months, if suddenly we have over 10 transactions and that tips us into it's going to cost us 15? What information do you need in order to vote on that, to feel confident in a yes or no vote? What do you need?
I think we need a motion, and I think we need to go ahead and approve whatever fees come along with it that they prescribe to us.
I just want to put something out there. It's not against electronic giving.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Cuff made a big point of it in the last two churches that I've been part of, where I'm part of the financing. And Mike Cuff put it very clearly. If you're leadership, they need to see your hand going into plate on Sunday.
Okay.
Because they see that. Other people see you putting, you know, whether you're putting a check or you're putting a dollar or all you got's a quarter, but they see your hand going in because I watch the, you know, for where I am back there, I watch the uppers. The ushers come down there with the, you know, a lot of times they just skip rows because people aren't giving. And he says it needs to be done every week. This is why, in fact, that's kind of like you. I have a checkbook. 99% of the checks are to Epworth. The rest of them are to the county or King William.
Yeah.
And so the tithing place will be passed every Sunday. We won't stop doing that.
No. We need to see your hand.
Yes, I understand. But what we don't see is the guy sitting there watching it on YouTube, and he needs an option to be able to donate.
No, I said no.
That's not a sign.
No, I'm not against that.
Okay. No. I'm just saying, but, you know, I'm not complaining what you're saying. I agree. I'm old school, too.
We get all in people out there that aren't here. Giving, we're all giving anyhow, so that doubles our money.
Did I hear you say there's a free option to start with?
Yeah, so currently speaking, I could set up a link and I could put it out there, and it would cost us nothing until somebody actually puts a transaction through it. The caveat to that is any of our internal giving is still going to have to be entered in church growth until we get to the point where we've decided that we're going to go with a paid option, and then, or where if we've gotten enough online donations in a month where we need to do a paid option. They're really super flexy about that. So, like, it's not like they're going to start screaming at you if you go over 10 and you're suddenly going to be in trouble and they're going to hit you with extra fees. Or they're not. They really are all about trying to make it easy for churches to scale as they need to scale with their management system. So it's a really good system. I want to say probably at least 4 or 5 of the churches I've been associated with in the last couple of years in any way of dealing with helping them with finances or helping have used this system.
So it would be free up until 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So legitimately, I can start that tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just I need to know that you are aware if we go over 10, then it's going to cost us and we're going to need to, and I need to be having permission for if it goes to that, it's mm-hmm. okay that that happens.
My opinion, if it goes over 10, yay.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the truth is, honestly speaking, if we go over 10 donations on that, the likelihood is it's already paid for the $15.
So whoever makes the motion, we want to make sure we say we approve the fees because they're already set up on a fair scale.
Yep.
It's just a matter we're obligated to pay them depending on how the donations go. The more donations we get, they will pay for themselves anyway. So
I would suggest we start with the free.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we need to see, me included, we need to see that it's a viable option to really be worth investing in.
Okay.
And if it goes for a month, 2 months, where you start to really see an increase in the giving,
mm-hmm.
I'd say if it goes over 10 for 2 months, then go for the whole deal.
Okay, so if it goes over 10 for any extended period of time, then we'll look at combining the other database
right.
with it. But for now, we'll just do whatever comes online yeah. and go from
there. I like to make that an emotion.
Okay.
Do it that way.
I just want clarity.
Yes.
Okay. When are you going to put the option?
I can start that by next week.
And what will the option look like?
So there's a giving button on our website that doesn't currently have any text. It's there, but it's currently a blank little square at the top. I will set that up where it says giving, and they will be able to click that button, and it will take them to Planning Center to be able to, and they will have to set up an account for that. It runs off of cell phones.
Why don't you send me a little blurb on that?
Okay.
So that I can put it
in the newsletter. Yep.
Volume 2 of the pretty looking newsletter.
That way it gives people a vision.
Yep.
And a ability to look at it before they invest. I know $15 is not that much, but to me, $15 is a lot of money.
No, I don't want to add to our budget and right. need to add to our budget. We want to make sure that we want to be good stewards of our money. I don't want to be throwing money away on things that we don't need.
Right.
I just want to make sure that everybody in the leadership is aware of once we hit that threshold, that it will be a need. But if we want to we do have that option if we don't have to dump all their other stuff into it right now. That can come later when we're sure that it's working and everybody's happy with it.
Well,
I just think we need to get it off the ground running so that we can, you know, start with the free option is a good option.
I make a motion that we start with the free option and that if it goes over 10 donations per month for 2 months, then we activate the upgraded option.
Okay.
All right, so JR's made the motion. Do I hear a second?
I second.
All right, Ed's second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? All right. Motion passes as presented. All right, the next thing on our new business is vision statement graphic.
Okay.
That's it.
So this is the stock park thing that we're looking at right now. I'm not going to give up on talking to y'all about vision statement. I'm really not, because I need something that is a little bit easier to remember for our people and easier for me to work with for graphics, for promotion, for online, for website. After talking to everybody in our little experimenting of five words to tell us what we think of that word. The one word that came up repeatedly over and over and over again was family, over and over and over again. That is very much an integrated part, not only of how you see yourself, but how other people see you. And so I am hoping that everybody would be good with where God's family is your family as a vision statement, that that's who we want to be in the community. That's who we are to one another. And that would be something that we can build mission around as far as building the things that we do together. Oh,
we've got, no, here, we got wing share.
There you go.
Sorry,
here. No, wing share right here.
Wing share. I pass those down.
Anybody else need one?
You have one sheet. So the other thing is the planning. I think we need two more.
The top of this is what I've used last week.
Yep, it is. So my question to you as the leadership team, is this okay with you as a vision statement for effort that I can start incorporating into the things that we promote, the things that we do, that I can start teaching the congregation, that I can start using? It doesn't necessarily want to look like this all the time, but that would be the tagline. That would be the thing, is where God's family is your family. Sorry about that. I have an 8 o'clock thing that goes off every Thursday because I'm supposed to do things. And if not, I'm open to suggestions. I am open to tweaks. I am open to thoughts. This does not, I don't want this to be a top-down thing. My planning team people have been phenomenal at feedback, and I have been very appreciative of that. This sort of came out of some of those conversations banging around in my head. And our conversations as a whole, is this something that works for you?
Good.
I love it. Okay. Suggestions, thoughts?
Well, it works, and it needs to be very simple.
Okay.
You need to have very little for the person to,
yeah,
to take in. And so it works.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it's something you can remember.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and that is the goal. So the goal with the vision statement for us is, this is what we want. Like I said, this is what we want people to think of when they think of us. This is who we want them to think of us being, is God's family for them, and God's family for each other. And that is, like I said, I think that that embodies a lot of what you guys already think and see and do for one another. Okay, so.
Is everybody okay with making approval for this tonight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion that we?
I must make a motion that we accept this as our.
All right, Debbie's made the motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Ann seconds. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? All right, the motion for the vision statement graphic is approved.
Okay, that means now I'm going to start having you guys talking to people and telling them that we're God's family. where God's family is your family, so that we can get that out in everybody's brain. All right, cool. What's our next order of business, Mr. Ball?
Banners for advertising events.
Okay, so we have the music thing coming up. Eventually, we would like to get a banner put together for that. This is the name that I had come up with. We can come up with something else. Dinah mentioned, and I do want to bring this to everybody's thoughts here, that she was concerned about adding the meal part on here. It is my understanding that this has always been done with a potluck. That's mm-hmm. why that's on there that way. The banner will not be the only thing that we are sharing with people about what this is. Every time this goes out in a newsletter, every time it goes out in the newspaper, every time it goes out on Facebook, there will be something about it being a potluck. This is specifically to catch people's attention when they're driving by on the road.
Okay, is this is for a certain event?
So these would be the bi-monthly, we used to call them country church. Okay. We didn't want to keep calling them country church because we're hoping that there's going to be a bit of a variety. But we want something that will work every single month. So I didn't want to put gospel code out on there because next time it might be something totally different. Mm-hmm. We want something that would kind of label this as a series of things that we do every other month on the fourth Sunday. Is that fourth Sunday? Yeah. On the fourth Sunday every other month. And that way we can put this out at the beginning of the month that we're doing it and then take it down mm-hmm. on the, like after yeah. it's done so that it's not up the following month when we're not doing it yeah. and then put it out gotcha. Again. And that way people will know when mm-hmm. we're doing it. And we don't have to change dates and we don't have to get the sleeves and mm-hmm. all of that and change it. It can just be the same thing every single time. If you don't like the name, if you don't like the graphic, if there's other things you want changed, please say so. I am very, very okay with that.
No, I think Epworth Ablaze is very much because with everything that I've heard, you know, we have this prayer thing online, it's Zoom, and, you know, what comes out of these people as they're praying is, we need to be ablaze. We need to be on fire with the love of Christ. So I really think that's perfect.
Okay. Other thoughts? You were about to say something?
Yeah. We're doing it every month?
Every other month.
Okay.
So that's why I was saying, so when it says fourth Sundays, we can put this up the first Sunday of the month and they'll know it's the fourth, and then we take it down after. So that there's no sign up that month and they don't see that.
I didn't want people to show up in a month that we're not having.
Yeah. And again, that's one of those things where this is going to be a piece of how we get that information out. So anytime this is going on Facebook, anytime it's going on the website, anytime it's going in the newspaper flyers, anything we do for this, it will be every other, like, that will be part of the larger piece of information.
You'll actually have a day to
it'll be a potluck that's done every other month. And the sign will just be up during the mm-hmm. month that it's going to be mm-hmm. that we're doing it.
Yeah. We can also relay that to the people when they come the first night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do this next yeah. month. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we take the S off of Sunday?
That's what I was wondering.
When you're sold for Sunday at 6:30.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because then.
What do you want to say?
Fourth Sunday.
Taking the S of Sunday.
What about okay, so we're going to not do it on the fifth, so it's not exactly the end of the month because of the
yeah, it's time. Four or five. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is eight. So that was leaving this just like this for the banners. But this is a graphic. Mm-hmm. And you can go in every other month. And put the date in here. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, so for the website stuff.
Yeah, for the website.
For anything to do, I can put the dates on these. This can be changed out easily for that. And
just
I think
the
reason I had the S on there is we do want people to understand that this is an ongoing thing, and that it's like an every other month thing.
Not
but I think
happened.
Yeah, but I think Donnie, you might be right that it might be better without the S there and less confusing for people. Mm-hmm. So they'll get the hang of that as we go along. They'll get the hang of that.
It can be adjusted if it takes off and goes like crazy, and we feel doing
and that
it every month.
Point. It could be adjusted that we do we do it every month if we get going real good. But
necessary to do it every third month.
Yeah.
Okay. Doing it this way, it can be adjusted.
So my question to you, Dinah, is how do we go about doing that, and how much does something like that usually cost, or do you know?
I don't know. I could give him this.
If he can get us an estimate.
If he can give us a price.
Okay.
I know, see that little color, the different colors down
yeah.
there? The first thing you'll want to say, he'll say is, do we have to do, because every time he changes the color or whatever.
So does that work the same for the banners, too? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I can ask
him about it. If we need to mess with colors and we need to make single colors, I will figure out how to make single colors. This is not going to be in a vector art like he needs either, so we may need to figure that out. I'm hoping the banners work differently than the shirts do as far as the printing processes go.
All right.
But I'm not sure, because I've never done this before, so. But if they're like the vinyl banners, I think that those print out differently. It's not screen printing, so I'm hoping there's a little more flexibility there. Okay. Awesome. Do we need some kind of motion on that, or can we just leave that alone?
I know this doesn't have to, anything to do with that, but I want to say that the t-shirts are phenomenal.
Awesome. I love them.
And you know, I don't know how many or in our congregation have bought one, or if there are people that haven't bought one yet. But I think there just ought to be a day that we show off, that we wear our t-shirts so that we can promote them to our own.
So for BBS, we're going to ask all of our people to be wearing their t-shirts if they have them. And we might do that as a promo-y thing before that. We'll see.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to put my 2 cents out there.
I like that. Yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah, when Melissa and I delivered the items to the Fix Ministry, we wore our t-shirts.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things that we'll be looking at with that, is we want to be using this when we're doing deliveries, when we're doing ministry, when we're doing service stuff, we want to wear our shirts.
We could do that the Sunday before vacation month.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could.
So how quickly do we need these banners?
So right now, I don't think we're going to get that turned around before we do the one for this month. I'm going to get that in, hopefully in the newspaper, but I will definitely be like splashing that all over Facebook and getting it into King William County. And when you start to see that, if you guys are online, if you're on Facebook, if you're on social media, please click and share, click and share, click and share.
Yes.
Put them in every single group that you're in when you start to see the posts come out about the things that we're doing here, but particularly about the music night thing.
I'm actually talking to some different people about this.
Mm-hmm.
I touched base with a friend of ours, a member of a Baptist church, that they have the music group for their Sunday, and I'm trying to see if they would be willing to come out.
Okay, awesome.
So I don't want it to be locked into just one certain type of music, one...
Right. No, we want
that to be
variety. And we really, 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 and that might be the other thing we want to do, and I might see if I can recruit some help with that, is get it out to the churches that we're doing this. I will message Mark and Marie and try to let them know that they should tell their congregations. I'll try to make sure I do that tonight, since we don't have a lot of time. But that's one of the things I need to get better at. I have a lot of things, and so communication with other churches outside of us is one of those things that falls by the wayside sometimes. If you have contacts with people and we're doing stuff, please share. And that's one of the reasons I gave you guys all this tonight, and we're going to touch on that. But so Dinah's going to check and see.
Yeah, I'm going to try to text him right now and try to give us an answer.
So
also, if you know of anybody that does music that might be willing to come, let me know, and I will touch base with them, and we'll try to set up. If I get enough people where I can schedule it.
Yeah. That's going to be the overall goal. So if y'all have folks in mind, if you have people in mind that you know of that are groups that do this kind of thing, please. JR is kindly coordinating that. Thank you. thank you. All right.
When you talk to these people about coming to sing, you tell them, would I take a love offering?
Yeah. I tell them that, and this other person I talked to asked if they could say something about the song they're going to sing,
mm-hmm.
as far as how it relates to them. It's got to be Christian music. They know that. And I told them, I said, as long as it's within God's words, you can say it.
Yeah.
We actually welcome it.
Oh, yeah. The less talking I have to do during news, the best.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing a little bit of, you can always ask me to preach. I'll do that. That's fun. But, okay. All right. Anything else on that?
All right, so we didn't need to vote on the banners.
I don't think we necessarily can until we have
a little bit
idea of how much it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. So we'll, Dinah is kind of going to work on that and get back to us. As we speak.
Well,
She's multitasking.
So next thing we've got is teaching time. Are we going to cover that tonight?
I'm going to be super, super fast. And I mean super fast. So last time, I'm pretty sure I gave you guys all copies of the Finance Committee pages in the Book of Discipline or Doctrine and Discipline. If I haven't given them to you, don't worry about it. The only things I wanted to touch on tonight, so that we are aware of the Finance Committee functions that we hold as the leadership team, is in Chapter 2, it says that we are responsible for stewardship of the financial resources that is a priority for us through the year. And part of that is seeking to help with the ministry of discipleship to move people towards tithing and beyond with an attitude of generosity. So that's part of what Ed was just talking about as far as demonstrating generosity as leaders, visibly being seen to be contributing to the church. I will say, if your contributions are done online on a regular basis, if you move to that direction, or if you give once a month because that's how your pay comes and that's fine, feel free to write a prayer and drop it in the offering, and that's your offering. But you should be putting something, because here's the deal. We want people to see offering back to the Lord, that time of that plate coming through. We want them to see an attitude of generosity, and it is not about what you're putting in that plate. It is about what you are offering yourself and offering what the Lord has given you. Sometimes the only thing He's given you this week is a really deep need, and you really need prayer. I am one of those preachers who really, I don't have quite the same philosophy of giving in leadership as a lot do, because I have been in a position of being in leadership and not being able to give, it not being an option, and literally ending up in the hole and in tears every single time I tried, until God finally slapped me in the head and told me to stop. But at the same time, I would be more than happy to share my need. I would be more than happy to pray prayers. I would be more than happy to give my time and my, and so it was still that generosity of being. And that is what we want to foster throughout our congregation, is a generosity of life. That's everything. That's when you hear me, when you've been hearing me preaching about stewardship, and I'm done with that for now, but when you hear that, and you will hear it again periodically, not as a series like that again, but worked into whatever I'm talking about, stewardship in the kingdom of God is about the giving of all that we are. And so if what you are giving on a given Sunday is that you have taken the time ahead of time to write down prayer, whether that's for yourself or for the church, whether it is you are giving an offering of, like he said, a quarter, if you break your checks out so that they come a little at a time, whatever it is, however that works for you, the point of putting something in the plate is the idea of offering. It is the idea of offering what we have and who we are to God. And we want to encourage that in our people. We want to encourage them. I love the fact that the little girls who come here put money in the, and it's, I guarantee you that's not going to make or break our bank account. But the fact is they are joyfully giving what they have. And we want to emulate that. We want to model that for them. Even if what you have is nothing more than God, I need you right now.
Well, we made a good move with stewardship tonight.
Can I go back to the bell for just a second? Yes, ma'am. He says, yes, it can do it, but what size do we want?
I don't know. I don't know what size is needed. Okay.
4x6. Which size of a normal flag was it?
The banner. He
said
he could
do
it.
Usually, 3x5 or 8 or 4x6.
Yeah, probably 5x6 or something like that, maybe.
You want it big enough for when they come by to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think my would be that long.
Well, that is, how far is that?
Let's see what the length of the big.
The size.
Same size as your VBS banner.
Well, that's what I said. We measure that one to see.
Yeah, that's a decent size, and you catch it. It's eye-catching. See it.
Did he do the VBS banner?
Yeah.
So he'll know what size that is if you tell
him.
Does he know what size it was?
I don't know.
I'm sorry to
No, that's okay.
That's okay. He wanted to make the VBS. UPS one?
Yes.
Ask him, say, hey, go back and come and size that.
Okay, so that's the one thing, is we want to be encouraging through discipleship and through modeling, giving and tithing. I don't preach tithing, but I do preach giving, and I do preach it generously. And
we may have been moving stewardship tonight.
That moves, I got to come to you every Sunday and ask for $4 so I can put it in the fund.
So the finance committee is also charged with responsibility for developing and implementing plans to raise sufficient income to meet the budget adopted by the church council. So as we're looking at the budget, we need to be communicating. And I have to figure out how to do this well with our congregation. I would appreciate your help. I know some churches, they do, you know, this is the giving and this is the budget every week in their bulletins. Some people do it in their newsletters online. Some churches don't want to do that. They don't want to tell people where they're at with their money. I don't know what the policy has been previously here. I don't know how that's been approached. But we need to find a way of communicating with our congregation that, number one, we have a budget. Number two, these are the needs that we have and why. So they understand where that goes and why it's important. And helping when we're in the midst of shortfall, when we're not meeting where we expect, how do we address that? Do we need to run fundraisers? What is it that we need to do to begin? Because what I don't want us to do is to maintain the habit that apparently previous pastors have had, where they know who the people are to go tap shoulders and say, hey, I need you to write a check. That is not how we want to handle our budget. We want to be fostering communication with our congregation, and that's our job.
Well, I think it's especially important if our budget starts running short, yes, that we alert the congregation, because they need to know. Long as we're doing well, if you state that too loud, people will quit giving.
No, I think we actually need to celebrate when we're doing well and when we're hitting goals, too. But when you do that, so that was one of the things at the beginning of the year I was talking about, budgets, actual and aspirational. When you're doing well and you're hitting your actuals for your budget, what then you need to be communicating is, this is really amazing and this is awesome. As we continue to grow and flourish, and as we continue to increase and the Lord continues to bless us, this is where we have planned already for that blessing to go. This is what God's given us as a vision for expanding X, Y, Z, whatever those things are. We're going to start doing a community meal once a month, where we invite everybody in the community who is in need and struggling to come and have fellowship dinner with us. And that's where that additional funding is going to go. We are going to be doing youth camps this year and inviting the underprivileged youth in our community to come. And that's where that money, we need to have a means of communicating so that you don't run into that. Because what you don't want to do is for everybody to think you're not telling them what's going on and it's going well because you just want to get their money. Because that's not why we want people to give. We don't want people to give because we want their money. We want people to give because the Lord has blessed them in order to be a part of what he's doing here. And he wants to use all of us to grow his kingdom and bring those visions into being. And we need to communicate that to people. I have been in churches where they have put in the bulletin what the offering was and what our budget is and if we've come up short or if we're right on track. What came to my mind was, I don't think it's a bad idea to maybe put in a newsletter format that we are so blessed and this is what our family congregation has put forth for doing well. But you can also put what we've done. Would that be the way that you think we should be communicating where we're at? Would the newsletter be the best method of that?
What I do need is, because when Ed has done this before, and I'm not saying other people, because that's all I know, but that people promote it to other people to look for that newsletter. Yes.
We need to find an additional way to do it too, because we still got some people in this church that don't know how to.
Don't have email.
Access to it.
So is that something that needs to be in the bulletin? And how often does it need to be in the bulletin?
If it's in the bulletin, I'd say once a month that people coming to church can see.
Okay, so maybe once a month after the leadership meeting, when we usually have a financial report, we just put the information and this is what the offering has been for the last month. This is what the budget was looking at. And okay, I can work on that.
Yeah, sometimes. But we were bigger churches and they had monthly budgets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're running a monthly budget.
No, we're not running a monthly budget, but we do have a general idea of month to month what we were hoping to hit as far as income and what we are doing as far as outgo. And so you can make that,
you can make
that in there and say, okay, this is where we are right now and where we're expecting to be.
And I've seen a lot of them where they're in a deficit. You know, it's kind of, they're being truthful.
Yeah.
You know, we're running low.
And you know, to that point, some people can remember what we need to do size
was. He can let me know tomorrow. We can, he can do a 3x5 or a 3x6.
3x5. I'm going to go 3x5.
I think a 3x5 is probably good.
That's the size of most of the flags you see at local people have. It's 3x5.
Okay.
3x5?
Yeah. 3x5 will work.
Yeah.
We don't need it massive. We just need it visible.
Right.
And that's kind of why I have the reddish colors on there that catches your eye.
Or should we go 3x6? It'll be long, so it won't be so scrunched up together. Because that's...
I'm good either way. This is a...
What does everybody say? 3x5 or 3x6?
No, that's almost...
Tell us to give us the pricing on both, and then we'll make a decision.
Yeah.
That's it, right there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always thinking that one in there was a 4x6, but I'm not sure. I don't know. If I had my Bible here, because I have the where I bought it before.
See, now you know you need your Bible everywhere you go.
All right.
Writing
on
there.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
If you're driving by, you want to
see it. Yeah. Okay. All right, so the only other two things I want to touch on. Number one is that we are supposed to designate two people not of one immediate family residing in the same household to count the offering. Currently, when Tammy's not here, the offering goes in a drawer without necessarily being counted. We need to expand our team as the leaders. We need to expand our count team to have at least four people who would be willing to do that. We don't need four people doing it every week, but that way when somebody's out, when they're on vacation, when anything like that is going on, we have two people that can go ahead and do the count and prep the deposit and put it in there. So that's not all falling on Dinah, and so that there's not just one person, because really we don't want one person doing the count either. That's why Dinah doesn't do it by herself, is because she's not, we don't want anybody doing it, just one person. One of you can't both do it together.
No.
You can both be part of the count team,
but
not do it at the same time.
I've done that for big churches. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about
that. And that's how it was done. Yes. There was somebody, a leader, who knew that what they wanted, and they knew who was there, and they go, okay, you're going to count
later. Yeah. Okay, so that just expands. So Ed and Ann are willing to do part of the count team. Dinah and Tammy do. I would say we get it, and Linda Kilmeyer. All right, so that's three. I would say that's probably good. We might want to have at least one more. That way you guys have rotation. And honestly, that way Dinah and Tammy don't have to be the ones that are doing it either. You can do it, but technically speaking, you're the financial secretary. You're not supposed to have to do it. Huh? Huh?
When you said Dinah and Tammy, I said, yeah. I agree. It should be.
Yeah, because they already
have a problem with that?
No. But you're the financial secretary. You're not supposed to have to do that.
No.
You're supposed to boss the people around.
No, I'm not going to do that either. No. I'll tell you what. I'll just take me off.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
No problem. I just...
But no.
No,
I'm good.
No, that's
seriously
what I was saying. Is
because, you know, I can't put it on the computer. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So just... there's other people that can do that.
You can still be the secretary.
No, I don't want to.
She doesn't want to, and that's okay.
Counted, signed the amount, and put in a safe.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm good.
You need to know the amount that's put in there. That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing, is that's why we need more people. Because right now, that has all been fallen on Dinah and Tammy.
I know it's not getting in the bank.
Yeah, that's too much. So, but yeah, but whatever goes in there, somebody should know what's being put in there, how much it is.
I can't either, and I'm not going to. I mean, I can't. So that's not a point of I'm not going to. So there's other people that can do that. So that's good. Okay.
You're comfortable with that, right?
I'm comfortable with not doing any of it. So I'm out.
You're out.
Yeah.
I thought it was that you and Tammy weren't here.
No.
I want somebody doing it all the time. And we need enough people that when people are not here, we have people that can do it every week.
Okay, so like if Tammy's not here, that she says that Ann, could you come with me and count?
Yeah, but don't ask me now.
But she doesn't want to do it. And that's
don't
okay.
Ask me now. That's right.
So her job actually as the financial secretary would be the person that supervises that team. According to the doctrine and discipline, they shall work under the supervision of the financial secretary. So that would be Dinah keeps that rotation going and knows who it is.
Well, I'm not going to do that either. So
okay.
I want to be off all of it.
Okay, that's fine too.
Okay.
And then the last thing is that the written financial policies should be reviewed for adequacy and effectiveness annually. So we want to make sure that we're paying attention over the course of this year to make sure that the policies we put in place at the beginning of the year are working the way that we meant for them to work, make sure that they don't need to be changed or updated, and make any additional changes towards the end of the year that need to be made to those, or to the beginning of next year, either way. We want to make sure that we have that in mind, that we want to review those annually to make sure they're working. And there's reasons for that. So part of that is we're putting a new giving system in place. We're talking about the possibility of changing the things that we're doing and how we're tracking all of that over time. We're doing account team. There's things that we're doing that are in line with that policy. We want to make sure they're actually working the way in real life that we think that they were going to on paper. Okay? And that's the only teaching on finance that I really wanted to touch on. Is those are kind of the main things that as the leadership team, you don't necessarily, haven't necessarily had the exposure to what that is. So does anybody have any questions about any of that? Okay, then I think I'm done.
Okay, the price for the banners, I guess the smaller one is $90. I was just asking for a ballpark figure.
Okay.
The smaller one is $90 and the larger one is $105.
Well, that's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, I'd rather pay the $105 for the larger.
Yeah, don't put a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dinah.
Thank you, Dinah.
All right. Anything else?
Is there anything you need to share with us on this sheet on the planning team?
Yeah, so y'all have something in front of you, and I just want you to keep that, take it home. We don't have to talk about it all tonight because it's a long list of things. The only thing that I do want to bring your attention to is in July, I am looking to start launching a family discipleship and prayer night on Wednesday evenings. That'll be a time where we do teaching that is designed for families to do together, and where we then have a time of prayer and singing together. It will not be super, super long, but it is something I want to give the families in the community an opportunity to come do that. And I do want us to have something on Wednesday where we can come together and be family with each other when we want to be too. So we're going to launch that in July and see how that goes. I'll start promoting that by the beginning of next month so people are aware. But I wanted to let you guys know that that was one of the things that the planning team had talked a little bit about. And then the other one I want to bring your attention to is what's called a digital disconnect day. Yay. And we're going to start doing those the second Saturday of every month. And we set that up between meal times, so it's like 1 to 5, so we're not necessarily trying to feed people big meals or anything. I'll probably make sure we have snacks because we're really hoping younger folks would come. And snacks are always good for younger people because they're always hungry. but the goal is to have some activities on tap for them. So sometimes it might be board games. We'll have a board game day that, you know, we just have a bunch of different ones set up for people to come play. I know Corey wants to do paper modeling and teach people how to build paper models one week. We might be cooking, we might do some other, you know, kind of crafting or art or it could be any number of things, but what we want to do is make space for people to come together without their phones, without their screens, and without all the noise of the world, to be able to come and just spend time together and build relationships with one another. Because that was one of the things that our Mission Insight stuff tells us about our community, is that they really need places and time to build relationships with other people. And that's a good way of doing that. And hopefully we will be able to appeal to some of the younger kids, like the younger youth and young adults for that too, because they are really craving that these days. They're having, what was it? Lo-fi raves or something in New York City where literally they're like having no digital parties, like floating parties where people are coming from across the city to turn their phones over and off and just be present with each other, because they're really, this is not a new phenomenon, and it's not just here. That is a major, major problem for our younger generation. So those are kind of the major things on there that I just wanted to bring to everybody's mind. Otherwise, just take it home, take a look. And if there's things on there that you see that you want to help with, please let us know. and if you have ideas that spark for any of that, or in addition to any of that, please let us know. One of the other things we were hoping to do is possibly look at getting booths down at the King William County. We don't have outreach stuff on here yet. Currently, this is stuff here at the church. We are wanting to do some things out in the community. So if you have ideas for that, please let us know. Because that's the thing we really like to get more.
The market starts June the 5th, and it's okay. Not at the high school this year. It's at the Indian Tribal place down there. Where is it? What's it called?
Right there, Pat.
Yeah, right on Pat.
30.
Yeah, right there where they had a powwow.
Yeah,
What is it?
The farmer's market at the high school. They're not having it at the high school this year. It's going to be at the powwow place.
Where is the powwow?
Right down on Route 30.
You go through
the yeah. It's kind of across from where Indian View Church is. Right.
Oh, I know where that is. Okay, yeah. I know where you're talking about.
Right down the right hand side. You've got a big sign up there.
I read it on Facebook the other day last night. Okay. And I think it had it placed on there for you to.
They got a power coming up.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I saw.
I'll look on the Facebook pages and see if I can figure it out. And thank you for letting us know that and seeing that. I don't really get the stuff from the King. I'm like, I'm signed up, but it doesn't always come on my feed. All right, I think that's all I have.
All right, that should be all of the business. So can I get a volunteer to close the second prayer, and then I'll adjourn the meeting?
I'll do it. It's been a good night for me.
All right.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as always, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, doing your work, your will. Pray that you will bless us and keep us safe as we go out into the home and into the community. Have us be that light that God wants us to be. And thank you, God, for all the blessings that have been bestowed here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.